I'm Mike Bennett, Chief Exec of Bristol Media, and welcome to our very first podcast on the recently published Southwest Top 100 Creative Company League Table. I'm joined by six directors whose companies all feature in the Top 100. Malcolm Brinkworth of Touch Productions, an award-winning independent TV company based in Bath.
Hello.
Ben Heald, MD of SIFT, an online publishing company who has topped the digital chart this year with a turnover of just over £7 million.
Hello.
Liz Anderson of Carixa Communications, one of the leading PR consultancies in town.
Hello.
Chris Jones from Oakwood Media Group, the top design company on our list, who've experienced fairly considerable growth this year, and it's fair to say have a fairly bullish outlook for the next 12 months, and we'll be finding out a little bit more about that later.
Hello.
Richard Spruce, creative director of Stuff Advertising, a full-service agency that came in a very respectable 83rd.
Hello.
And Dylan Shipley from Sun and Moon Studios, who featured in our very exclusive Ones to Watch section, an exciting animation company we should all be keeping our eyes on over the next few years.
Hello.
Well, let's kickstart by looking at the top 100. This is the first time we've actually pulled together a comprehensive list of all the major creative industries and major companies. And Ben, if I can start with you, what do you think the guide says about the sector to an outside audience?
I think the main thing it says is that we're a sector. We're a group of fast-growing creative companies in the Southwest here. I don't think we've felt that before. Seeing a proper magazine here with 120 pages or so, I think it's great to see it. There's lots of companies in there I want to, I feel like, touching base with and doing things with. I want to reinvest more time in Bristol Media and the sector as a whole. So it's good for all of us, I think.
I mean, Chris, we've talked about on several occasions over the years the need to really shout more about the sector and about the creative industries. Mm. Do you feel that we're shouting hard enough and loud enough at the moment?
I think we do. I think it's hiding our light behind a bushel over the last few years. But I think that we've got it into a position now where there's something to actually talk about. That makes a huge, huge difference. And what I was encouraged to see is I think that the region's perhaps known for its TV production, which accounts for about 21% of the top 100. But then you look at the design sector, 16%. And I think I'm right in saying the digital sector, 26%. So it's quite a growth area. That's good to see the cross-section within that as well.
And the range of companies, if you look through the clients of the top 100, is absolutely staggering. I mean, it's the great and good of UK business, which is fantastic.
And I don't think, so we've really had anything to be talking to the national press about on this sort of scale, even though, Bristol Media has been an entity for a number of years. And certainly the top 100 allows us to really kind of wave our flag on a national level. And for the first time, we've got interest from, some key important media like sort of Media and Guardian and The Independent. So there isn't anything like this that's been done before on this scale with this level of detail. So I think the feedback that we're getting externally, we want to raise our profile both sort of nationally and internationally. It's the first step forward. It's important.
I think that's really important because if you look at the way in which the map of Britain works, you have still a London-centric economy. You have a vast amount of money being flowed through to the northwest in Manchester with a new media city there and everything else. And obviously there is a quite proper investment in all the nations, but Bristol and the whole of the southwest has often been one of the sort of Cinderellas there that actually produced an awful lot of goods that people just actually pass people by politically. And I think so having this kind of spotlight on it actually helps not only the whole creative economy right the way across the genres, right the way across the sector, but also allows us to enunciate our case on a much wider stage, which is that actually the Southwest is actually one of the fulcrums of the creative economy for the UK, for UK PLC. And much more importantly, that means that we actually will be one of the drivers for growth across in the next decade, again for the region and for the rest of the country. So I think that's really good news.
Absolutely. I mean, when we were compiling the figures, I think we were all genuinely surprised that when you totted up all the combined turnover, it's not far off £500 million. And I think seeing it on paper, actually, for the first time, really does, and echoing what everybody said, really does make you feel that, hang on a minute, this is almost an untapped sector that has an incredible amount of economic value to the region.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think not only that, it's not just the quantity, but also the quality and the calibre of the creative support that's out there as well. It does, as Michael's just touched on there, take us out of that sort of London-centric focus and sort of open the eyes, I think, to the bigger corporations. Says, my God, I didn't know that was down here. I don't have to travel that distance. We can actually get fully serviced in the southwest, which is, I think, is tremendous.
And, of course, the other side of it is that we need to be projecting this out to London in particular.
Key thing is that there are world-class businesses down here. I mean, they aren't just regional-class businesses. They aren't just national-class businesses. They are world-class businesses. And actually, that ability to compete on an international stage is actually what a successful creative economy is all about.
Dylan, you're, as I said earlier in the introduction, you're in our Ones to Watch. You're an exciting new startup company. How valuable is a guide like this for a new creative company?
Well, this is really useful for us because this top 100 list is like a collection of potential clients for us. So our kind of goal is to have all the media industries that we can find in this area, in Bristol, southwest, get them to know us. So what this is a really good, just like a list that we can go through
tool.
And we can kind of target companies that, and there are a lot of companies here that we didn't know existed before. And it's like, yeah, a list for us of people that we can introduce ourselves to because we're a new company and we want everyone to know who we are. So
brilliant.
Very good. And us being in the Ones to Watch as well is really, really useful.
Richard, you're not so much a new company, but you've been around 4 years. Did you know everybody who'd featured in that top 100?
No, I was very surprised by the breadth of the different companies in there. You know, there was the obvious big players in there. But I think it's a great barometer for companies of our size, you know, for what we can strive for in the future. And, you know, it's an exciting thing to be included in the top 100 to make sure we stay in there and hopefully move up the league. But I think it's a healthy competition for the whole region. And it can only benefit all the creative companies.
Chris, I mentioned in the introductions that you've got a fairly bullish outlook to the next 12 months. Why? And what have you learned over the last 12 months to make you feel that actually, you know, the next 12 months is going to be a successful one for you business-wise?
Well, I think besides working 20% harder for 20% less, which has sort of been my edict for the last 12 months, and I don't see it being much less than that over the next 12 months forthcoming. We have been fairly aggressive. Our growth has been through acquisition. We're the second fastest growing agency in the UK in the design sector as well, so it's not just a regional thing, which I think that's quite good. If you see us as number one in the southwest and we're number 24 in the UK but the second fastest growing, that can only reflect positively on the region that, you know, it is all happening and it's happening outside of the area. I think, you know, so it has been acquisitional, the growth. It's also been organic, but the organic growth has been helped by the fact that the profile of the organisation has grown. And, you know, we were approached by an international client last Friday, and the meeting took place yesterday. We were no more surprised than the next guy that this happened, but that was from recommendation and word of mouth. So that's a great new business drive.
You mentioned about acquisition, and do you feel that was a risky strategy? Because, I mean, you acquired a company 6 months ago, didn't you, in the middle of you know, what we were being told was imminent Armageddon. I mean, talk to us about...
Well, we started negotiations, I think, with the One Brand Group, who are then the 17th largest brand group in the UK, to bring them on board, because we felt there were missing links in our armour, and that slotted in very nicely. They were doing a lot of creative graphic work, which we could produce for them. So it was kind of a marriage made in heaven in that respect. Now it's been a very positive move, and I suppose by being aggressive, looking at companies that have the potential to perform and polish, and we're lucky we've got a very, very effective MD, which I think is also key to growth. He's looked at it purely from the business. Now, the three of us that set it up, we weren't business people, we were creatives. And we took someone on that effectively runs us and the organisation, which has worked very, very well. And continuously looking at efficiencies and the ways that we can improve and working things out. And it, so far, touch wood, it's been successful.
Ben, you've also seen growth this year, and you operate in the online publishing space, a space that's constantly changing with new technologies, and we hear obviously of huge shifts in the sector locally with the local media and publishing generally. What have you put your success of the last 12 months down to?
I think for all of us who represent small businesses, I think that we've all faced incredible challenges growing our businesses, you know, in most cases from nothing to something. So for us, it's always been about grappling to get ahead. And I don't really see it's much different now. we're still grappling to get ahead. Yeah. Of course, the other thing that's happening is huge strategic changes in the industry. You've got the huge switch from print to online. You've got the growth in social networks. You've got the growth of mobile. You know, the growth of things like Twitter, you know, amazing, incredible changes which are game-changing for all of us, not actually just in the publishing space, across the whole spectrum of human endeavour.
They are
changing life, so that we're all going to be touched by these things.
And that shift in industry, Malcolm, if I can come to you, I mean, as one of the most respected TV production companies in the region, I mean, you have got to have seen huge shifts in industry trends over the last sort of 18, 24 months, surely.
Oh, it's been a veritable revolution, I think. I mean, I think on the one hand, you think television is a kind of old, linear dinosaur that, I mean, particularly with everybody around this table. I mean, in that sense, you know, we project our programmes, you know, via the broadcasters into people's homes, and some pay advertising, some pay licence fees. But the actual economy and the way in which the creative economy has changed has been huge. One, because you've got a more international client base. We probably went from being a UK centric production company 3-4 years ago to over half our turnover now coming out of the US. I see that as one of our key growth strategies for the future is we become increasingly internationalised. The other issues is, of course, huge sort of legislative ones. I mean, you have a brand new review which is about to hit out everyone's desks and in newspapers and radio and television in Digital Britain, which has been a huge governmental-wide review. It will look at everything. It's looking at how we enable Britain to be more broadband literate, how we actually make sure that we deliver content to all sorts of places, all sorts of homes. And that means that the way in which you define the way you create content as well as you transmit content is different. So I think that for us, I think probably for all of us around this table, actually we're at probably the most exciting time of our professional career in terms of what we can do, how we can do it, and the way in which we can do it. It's also probably one of the most challenging times of our career in terms of the economic environment. And on the other hand, if you can marry those two together and come up with a good strategy for both, then actually I think it's a good place for all of us to be.
And a good place for our staff. I mean, our staff will learn more this year, last year, next year than they've learned possibly in the whole of their careers living through these times. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic development for all of us.
Liz, we're talking about shifts in industry and changes, and Malcolm's touched on how it's affected the TV sector. But PR has got to be in a complete state of flux with, as Ben said, Twitter and social media and networks. How have you managed to sort of embrace those changes and you know, keep your head above the water in sort of hard times?
I think, you know, there have definitely been opportunities over the last sort of 12, 18 months where the PR industry has seen a shift and an increase in spend, almost kind of taking away from the ad agency in terms of media spend. But actually, you know, sort of as an industry, you know, media is moving to sort of digital. And whilst, you know, kind of we're doing quite a lot of that, the challenge, I think, for us is in terms of the skill set, because as an industry, you know, kind of we've all been brought up on more sort of traditional forms of communication. And whilst, you know, kind of we want to certainly kind of champion digital PR, the challenge for us is trying to find the staff, train the staff as quickly as we possibly can to keep ahead of the game. And I think whilst there are exciting opportunities for the PR industry to grow in that sector, also there are the challenges of actually growing our business when there aren't really kind of the staff, certainly perhaps in the region. And, you know, I don't want to always be looking to London to be bringing that skills base back. I want that to be, you know, kind of on the ground. And that is a challenge for us and will be, you know, certainly in the future going forward.
Richard, you're a full service advertising agency. You touch on DM, do a bit of digital. What changes in clients' habits have you experienced? Is there any particular growth area of the business that sort of looks like it's more positive and more exciting than other areas?
Yeah, I mean, there is obviously the huge growth towards digital, and what we have to be careful about managing with our clients is that they go into that for the right reasons, because a lot of the time digital offers considerable cost savings as well, based on traditional media, you know. And also it makes us more accountable for the work we do, because we run a 48 sheet campaign. It's very difficult to judge how many people look at it. You send out an electronic mailer and you can tell who's clicked on it, who's gone through to the website and everything. So it pushes us harder. And as I say, we just got to make sure that we don't lose sight of the traditional forms of advertising, because I think they've still got a big part to play, and it's getting that integration between all of them. So it is, as Liz said, it's finding the skill sets and the right people, and hopefully, you know, where we're at today, the right people are coming through, and we can keep them in the region as well, which I think is a lot to do with this whole, you know, top 100. It's as well as saying what's great about what is here now, it's attracting people to the region and stopping people leaving as well.
Dylan, if I can come to you, what do you consider to be your biggest challenges as a new business over the next 12 months?
Well, for us, what we found is at the start of this year, I'd say in February, we suddenly got offered quite a big lot of work, which was lucky because that's when we just moved into our studio. And it's been like that up until now. And I think the biggest challenge, if it keeps going like that, is just it's just Louis and myself, really, at the core. We've called in some freelancers as well. But the biggest challenge is we're animators and designers, but now we're doing the other side of it, the business side of it.
You touch on an interesting point in that there, in the region, we don't seem to suffer from an entrepreneurial spirit. It's there in abundance. There are so many startup companies that are coming through, and certainly the 170 companies that didn't make the final 100. It's clear that there's an entrepreneurial spirit in the region. But Dylan touches on an interesting challenge, is how you take that creative business startup and help it grow and evolve and move up the food chain, if you like. How have collectively we all achieved that? How have we taken our businesses from an idea into the successful businesses that, you know, are covering the sheets in the top 100?
I think one of the key things on that, Mike, I can come back to is also the existence of Bristol Media is now something that wasn't there in the form that it is now, you know, 24, 36 months ago. And that, I think, is an enormous help for these up-and-coming companies. The facilities to network, the facilities to, you know, for the larger companies to talk to the smaller companies to assist, government involvement, so on and so forth, that wasn't there a few years ago. And I think that the work that's been done by Bristol Media has really underscored that and helped that.
As an entrepreneur starting from scratch, you've just got to go for it. You've got to be committed. You've got to have, you know, you're going to be like a terrier with something. You've got to be so committed that you just don't give up. That's why people make it through the early years. It's really hard.
The other interesting thing is that we've probably, I mean, in my industry, you've probably got most of the people who are ex-directors, ex-producers, creative types who've actually ended up running their businesses. And I think if you've gone back 10 years in the television industry, you'd have had most people like that. And what's happened in that last decade, and certainly in the last 5 years through the government changes and the new terms of trade and the 2003 Communications Act, is actually we've professionalised ourselves. We've actually now running businesses in the creative sector. And I think that trend will continue and grow. And I think those successful companies are ones now that have a strategy, that have a planning, that have proper business plans, that actually have an idea of where they want to be, and where their projections are, you know, even in a recession, where they're going to go next year. And I think that professional change has probably gone right the way across the sector. And I think that's healthy and that's good. The challenge is how you carry everybody else with you in terms of the skill bases and the people coming. Because one of the other things about the Southwest is that often we've become a kind of migratory economy. We have all the students coming in, they have a great time here, they get to know it, and they all leave again. And the key thing is on that sort of brain drain issue. And I think what this is very good at, and what the top 100 and what the sort of recent success shows, is actually you can have a future here, you can stay. And the challenge for us will be to make sure that we attract the best talent and keep the best talent as we go.
It's a very important point, that Malcolm, and I think we collated quite a lot of stats and information that we didn't publish in the guide. We asked people filling in the survey what they considered to be the main challenges and barriers to growth, and 68% of those completing the survey said staff and skills were a real issue in the Southwest. So how can we ensure that there is a steady stream of young, exciting talent coming out and working in PR, TV, digital, whatever, and we can keep hold of them?
I mean, I don't think you can keep hold of everybody inside your own business. It's just not possible. Some people have to go off and do their own thing. What I would hope is that more of them stick around in Bristol to do their own thing than actually go back to London to do their own thing. I think that would be it would be great if more of that was going on.
There are two sort of related points, aren't there? The one is that it's the kind of the magic dust factor, that little buzz factor that exists, that actually we need to communicate, which is that exists down here. It doesn't exist simply in the corridors of Soho and the cafe culture there or down in Manchester or whatever. So that's one thing. But the second thing, which I think is really important, is that actually you only get people to stay, and particularly in the creative industries where there's a huge freelance economy, when you have businesses that are sustainable, that when they're viable in the longer term. And actually the whole business about the creative industries is that we've always relied on this mixture of staff and freelancers. And actually those freelancers who then turn into running their own businesses is a really refreshing part of the process. So I think it's two things. It's one, it's publishing things like this. It's one, it's the Bristol Media Group. It's making sure that diaspora that goes right the way across the Southwest, whether you're in Plymouth, whether you're in Bath, whether you're in Gloucestershire, it doesn't matter where you are, that all feeds off each other. And that's to do with that little intangible thing, as I sort of rub my fingers together here, that you kind of can't ever put a price on, but it has to be there, because otherwise all the students go, oh, well, I have to go to London or I have to go to Manchester. They don't. It is here, and we've just got to communicate that better.
And what about clients? Have you seen a change in the way clients are procuring services or commissioning editors are working with TV companies? Are we seeing has the recession forced clients or commissioning editors to buy different kinds of services or buy in a different way over the last 12 months?
One particular thing that surprised me that came out, literally came out of the blue for us, we do a lot of TV production out in the film studios, and we do have a film production company as well, but we did a small piece for a large retail client that was specifically for online, and the hit rate went from 60,000 over 3 months to 514,000, and the MD, who's ex-marketing, just turned around and said, get that on television. Now, historically, it would start on TV and go, that's great, stick it online. And we're starting to see more of this stuff. I think Richard pointed out that digital is a more cost-effective, more instant or spontaneous way of moving forward. And I think the tables are turning, that you know the big above-the-line-led agencies are suddenly saying, hang on, what's this digital stuff and what's happening out there? And I think it's a really positive. It's making us very agile and very sort of proactive, and I think that's a very positive thing.
That's in the marketing and the advertising role. But Malcolm, what changes have you seen from commissioning editors?
It depends whether you're talking about the UK or the US or on a worldwide basis. I mean, in terms of the UK, I think more and more people want more for less. I mean, the classic thing, you're working 20% harder for 20% less, that's absolutely bloody true. That's the first thing. The second thing is that I think the middle ground of television commissioning has been squeezed. You have the very top end, high level, multi-million pound series, the big blockbusters. That middle ground that used to exist is being squeezed, and you've got more at the bottom, which is the big sort of volume numbers, which are cheaper. So that's happening in UK commissioning. What's also happening across the board, though, is that more and more people are co-producing. So that means if you have a big flagship series, you'll want to find out whether the Canadians or the Americans or the Australians or somebody else are in with you as partners in order to offset that cost, because more and more TV commissioning is becoming tariff-based. There's a price per hour that goes by slot, and therefore, as a result of that, you know, you have to, as a business now, think quite creatively across the park to work out where that money's going to come from. And I think also the other key thing for me is that I think there'll be more and more partnerships that'll go beyond television. I think there'll be more and more people coming to, and I think more collaborations across companies, that actually there'll be advertiser funding here, there'll be more sponsorship there, there'll be a bit of branding opportunity, and actually you'll create content that is both online, TV, all sorts of things in a much bigger space. And I think that's really exciting, and that's where I think things like Bristol Media and all of us around the table will end up thinking, actually forming sort of corporations and joint ventures almost to create different things in a really interesting way. And that's refreshing.
I think that's really true. We're doing a lot more combined digital and offline. We haven't yet done digital, offline and TV, but I can see that coming for the bigger clients.
Before we round up, just want to find out a little bit more about your individual plans and hopes for the next 12 months. Malcolm, can I start with you?
You can. I think my plans and hopes for the next 12 months will be that we continue to grow ourselves internationally. I'm hoping that this next year will see further productions in the US. We are making for primetime networks now in the States on a regular basis, and I'm hoping that we'll have at least two or three major series which are based in the States, plus a couple of other singles this year. I'm hoping also that the UK thing will, our UK business will continue on. But I'd also like to hope that by the end of the year, we'd have done something outside of traditional broadcast. I would hope that there would be something in a partnership form. We've just formed a joint venture with another digital agency. I would hope that those other partnerships continue. So I think, you know, if you rub my crystal ball in front of me, I would say by December, I'd like to have something else like that on the horizon.
Liz?
I think, you know, sort of the last sort of 6-12 months have been relatively tough. And I think for a PR consultancy, you know, where we've traditionally always operated on retained fees, that's been quite easy to plan for and forecast. That's changing. It's going to projects. And I think, you know, kind of that we need to be more sort of flexible and look at different ways of perhaps sort of working with sort of resource such as freelancers and working in a much more collaborative way. I think sort of similarly to yourself, sort of Malcolm, digital is going to be the key sort of thing, certainly kind of within the PR industry, and interested in perhaps sort of looking at a collaboration with sort of a digital agency, I think is sort of key for us as a PR business. And, you know, we're doing a lot more in that space, and the opportunities are absolutely fantastic. I think certainly from where we're sitting as a PR consultancy in Bristol, being so well known for the digital industry, we're in a fantastic position to kind of really take that forward on sort of both a national and international scale.
Thank you. Chris?
I think given the activity we've seen at the Oakwood Media Group over the last 12 months, we're probably going to be looking at a period, or we are looking at a period of sort of consolidation, which I think is probably the sensible thing to do. Doesn't mean we're turning our back on new business or equally turning our back on other acquisitional opportunities. Ironically, in this current climate, they raise their heads a lot more than they did sort of 12 months ago for some very sad reasons. But I think for us, there's certainly a period of consolidation. We've learned very much that where we used to look at long-term and short-term. Short-term is what's happening next month, and long-term is what's happening in 6 months, which has been a big change for us. So I go back to this sort of being agile, being flexible, being adaptable, both from the agency's perspective, but also on behalf of your clients, which is key. And perhaps looking inward or inwardly more than we had done out historically, because we've got to make sure that we're doing the right things to continue growth within the business. But probably consolidation for us over the next 12 months.
Ben?
The key... We've got a few things to look forward to. We're moving offices in August, which is really exciting. We're taking twice as much space as we've currently got for the same money, which is good. We're looking to expand our The Pitch event. We're running it at the moment. The first heat was in Bristol yesterday. So in 2010, I'm looking to expand that from a regional and a national file to maybe a something that also touches on TV. Would be really exciting if we can get that away.
Can you just explain what The Pitch is?
The Pitch is a Dragon's Den style online business. The prize is business support, 50 grand worth of business support for your business. And we're also looking for a head of sales and marketing at the moment, so I'm key hire to make.
Richard?
Well, we're looking, you know, we've enjoyed quite a lot of growth over the last year, so we're looking to continue that, obviously. We're pitching hard. You know, trying to bring in more new business, and also some new people. I touched on before that we haven't got digital in-house. It's somewhere where we're looking to grow into, and I think that would be a key appointment of ours over the next 12 months. We also are moving offices shortly. So, you know, it's a positive thing, and I think we have to speculate to accumulate somewhat and embrace the new technologies and bring that on board, because without it, I think we will move backwards.
And Dylan, even though it's early days, you must have some exciting plans for the next 12 months.
Yeah, we'd like to keep the ball rolling, really. Looking forward to when the Nessie DVD comes out. We're also looking at expanding the different types of animation that we can do, and we're talking with some people at the moment about moving in to be able to offer computer graphics and also some flash-based websites. Getting our new website together, all the work we've done over the last 6 months, getting a showreel together, and then with that, going out to the Bristol media industries, and we'd love to have our name known throughout Bristol as someone that that people can turn to if they need animation or design.
Well, guys, just like to say a huge thanks for taking the time and coming to talk to us today about the Top 100 and sharing a few of your plans for the next 12 months. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Bristol Media Top 100 podcast. A huge thanks to Malcolm Brinkworth, Ben Heald, Liz Anderson, Chris Jones, Dylan Shipley and Richard Spruce. If you've got any comments or questions in relation to the Top 100 podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line to info@bristolmedia.co.uk. Goodbye.